Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight for a Wheel of Love event. And today I was contacted by a male, and I would like to see if I can pair him with a female. Is Cringe Panda in the audience? I was looking at her YouTube channel. This is ripe for insemination, my friends.
What's up, bears? Better click that like button. This is go time. Sit up!
Excuse us.
Oh, wow, a baby at a pride march.
Actually, having seen the picture of this guy and her, I think she would be a perfect match. I like the way she kind of hides her lower body, suggests that she's probably a little fat. Is a little fat, you know, but not super fat. I think they would fit perfectly well together. Cringe Panda and this mysterious man who contacted me. I wanted to lay down, of course, I'll be covering news also, but I wanted to lay down the offer. So he is by the way, he's not a lumberjack. I just used this image. People are asking, why does he have an axe? I'm sorry, I thought it was kind of charming, the whole Canadian wilderness type of savage personality. I don't know. I don't know what the modern woman looks for, but I looked at him and he gave me the impression of a lumberjack. I judged him as a lumberjack and I decided to call him the mysterious lumberjack. He's, as far as I know, he's not like the kind of lumberjack that cuts trees or whatever. In fact, he seems like a pretty sensitive guy, you know, plays piano and very intelligent guy. Does coding, so I wrote on the thumbnail, coder of your sensations. Will Cringe Panda be willing to be typed on from feet to head by this guy? I don't know. But he is a coder, so he makes a living from being a developer in MATLAB, C++, that kind of stuff. So I would expect a kind of autistic personality, so if we could have a kind of autistic woman type of personality to go with him, I think it would be great. What else do I know about him? Well, I saw him play piano and I saw his pictures. I would say he's a 6 out of 10, you know, slightly bellied Canadian type with red hair. But not to the point where he's fat to the point of being ugly. Just a little slightly bellied man. And he seems to be looking for serious love, long-term relationship. He considers himself culturally a Christian. Though I don't think he believes in God. You're going to have to ask him. But he seems to be a little bit like me at the intersection between Christian for the culture and for where he comes from, but not necessarily believing in God. So that is it. And yeah, he seems like a good heart. If you want he's 30 some years old, in the low of the 30s. And there are so many women out there who just don't know how to find a good guy. Well, my impression from talking to him is that you have here a good guy, more than the usual good. Just a very good heart, a very intelligent, reasonable man with, I wrote, a musician with a heart of gold on the thumbnail, lumberjack of the Canadian West, coder of your sensations, MATLAB, C++. That's the impression I get from him, that he is a guy who will love you forever. So a lot of people, they let dating to be, oh, well, let's leave it up to chance. No, I don't believe in chance. I believe in radical international pursuit of and distribution of available vaginas toward the right sources. And in line with my beliefs, I've decided to accept his offer to be his public representative. If you want, if you're a girl, if you're cringe panda on the regular chat, if you're a girl who's available, this could be your chance. This is a high quality man in the sense that he got stuff sorted together. He's not going to be on drugs. He's not going to give you trouble. He's not going to have hidden secrets. What you see is what you get. I have the impression with this guy, a man of truth, a man of pursuit of a family life, a man who will be right on track to start life with you. I don't know what are the arrangements. Do you have to be in Canada? He's in Canada. Maybe he's open to receive offers from outside, but if you're in Canada, that's already a plus. Ty Odyssey says, better allocate gametes. Exactly. Let us distribute. Barnaby Buto says, in true spirit of the fight against TRP, JF will stand like a beacon of light in a world of AI dating app. I don't think you can get the kind of quality. I've been realizing this across the years. The people that are still attracted to this show, they are special. They have a special kind of autistic with a heart of gold personality that there's no other way you would have selected as many guys like this to all be here. I think that this is a defining aspect of people who stayed around my show for the years. And so if you know of a female who is in the search for a reproductive male entity, I was asking him, so he likes the kind of boyish, not boyish, but you know, this kind of autistic, not super prepared female, just a beautiful female who is beautiful naturally, that will do for him. He's showing me now pictures of the girls he dated when he was in high school. So yes, I would say he's willing to date based on the pictures that I'm looking at right now. He is willing to date females between the range of 4 out of 10 to 8 out of 10. And he has dated females of that range in the past. So that gives you an idea. New guy says, lol, Papa JF's worldview, dating pursuit for radical distribution of eligible vaginas. Yes, that is my worldview. I'm looking at images. I can't even show them. So contact me on email if you want, jfg.world. You're going to find my email there. If you want to contact me on Discord as a DM, you'll find the link to the Discord below the description. Or if you want to contact me on Twitter, send me a DM. Raised Fist says he will refuse 9 out of 10. No, I mean, it's not what he told me, but I'm telling you, I'm looking at his exes. He sent me all of the pictures of his exes. And I'm seeing a range between 4 and 8 out of 10. Now, I'm sure he would date a 10 out of 10 like all of us. I'm sure that wouldn't be a problem. But what I'm telling you is that he has succeeded at charming 4 out of 10 women and 8 out of 10 women in the past. So contact me on Twitter, DMs, if you want. Just send me an @ on Twitter and I can pair you with him. Going toward the news, I'm looking at videos right now. I can't even show them, but Israel has literally just bombed a refugee camp of Rafah with baby bodies just inert, having been bombed, just doll-like dead bodies coming out of that place that was just bombed. So about 10 hours ago, Israel just committed a massive PR mistake and just aerial strike, just cruel bombing of the exact place that they told the Palestinians to go to survive. So really the refugee camp of Rafah, And it's not looking good for the Israelis. I mean, at this point, the White House is considering whether they have passed the red line that Joe Biden was talking about. Look, even if the White House was to make a favorable finding toward Israel because they're bought out just like any other president before them, it's not looking good because the whole world sees what's happening. You're really just killing innocent people with airstrikes. Even Bibi Netanyahu, who's usually not very apologetic and stands by his actions and always says, oh, well, it was a legitimate target. And, oh, no, technically, there are legal ways to kill babies. If they are terrorists behind the baby, you can shoot. I mean, those are very weak arguments. But today, he doesn't even have the bad arguments on his side. And so today, he apologizes and says it was a tragic mistake. So you're at the point where the Jews are acknowledging a mistake, and that's not good. That's the bottom of the barrel, really, because they will only acknowledge a mistake when they have no other choice. And it seems that this particular airstrike was so indefensible. It was so clear that it was a refugee camp. Like, you can see it from the video. It's tents, it's makeshift habitations. It's exactly in the city that Israel say, go there, you'll be safe. It's absolute nonsense what Israel has been doing. As someone was commenting on Twitter, they're losing all of the credit, all of the goodwill that the Jewish people had been accumulating because they are so involved in the control of American politics. That naturally everyone was standing on their side. And a large part of the American public even was fairly convinced that the Jews were their allies. You can't maintain this and just be that cruel. You can't have a backward Mid-Eastern mentality of war. Pursue it like a bloodthirsty, vengeful entity and maintain the respect from the American public. So I believe this may be a turning point in this thing where I don't see the majority of Americans siding with this video. Of course, they're going to try to shut it down, but it's going out enough that at least influencers like me, of course, who watch Twitter all day, of course, we end up seeing it. So we're aware of what's happening. And at some point, the people will not side with Israel anyways. As I made the case before, no matter what, given the demographic change, you're going to have just too many Muslims and other minorities who are just sympathetic to the underdog in general, because, and on top of it, we're raising them on this ideology. So you have a ultimate schism that's developing between the hard Zionist project within Israel, supported by hardcore Jewish fundamentalists, you know, people who are literally willing to shake a chicken in the face of their enemy and bomb other human beings. And then you have the Jewish diaspora who's been complicit through their silence, mostly. Some of them through their public interventions, but many of them through their silence. And there's just a point at which you can't... There's just an amount of genocidal mania that you can't shut down under the carpet and remain silent and remain credible. And we may be at a breaking point right now where at some point the leftist Jews are already up in arms again. So their narrative is, well, it's not Israel that's wrong. It's the Israel right-wing government. Holy shit, I've heard that one I've heard this fucking talking point for more than 10 years. I'm not kidding. It's the TYT, it's the Cenk Uyghurs of this world, and you'll hear many Jews adopt this. Ariel Suarez says the chicken is for scapegoating. They simply sacrifice a chicken in order to be purged of their wrongdoings. They tend to do this about once a year. Yeah, I know. I know that. I wasn't looking at an accurate depiction of the Jew shaking a chicken, but I was trying to combine the maniac nature of this Cape chicken practice with the religious fundamentalism of it, and the fact that it's those very people who are bombing human beings with no remorse. And of course you have no remorse because what? Because you have your fucking chicken. Ariel Suarez says, oh, my bad, lol. Well, it's not your bad. It's just, yeah, ultimately they are bombing human beings, and they're thinking these human beings are less good than us. That's literally the corner in which we have pushed the Jews at this point. And at this point, if you have a Jew who supports the war and who engages with any sort of counter, he's gonna have to have that position, which is, yes, it's a genocide, but it's one of the good ones. Haven't you read Sam Harris? It's a landscape. One genocide is another genocide that's not happening. And, you know, the people that are killed are terrorists. That kind of argument. So the fundamental argument that the surface area that's Palestine would be morally greater if it was a parking spot than if it's occupied by the Palestinians. And that is so disgusting, of course, in the light that You know the people who live there, all of them basically at this point are born there. They're born there. You are born not having attacked Israel. And when you're a baby, especially, we know you've never attacked Israel. Rodita says, we have to strike them preemptively before they get nukes. Sam Harris. Absolutely. And you had a Sam Harris so insulted when Cenk Uygur called him out on this with the whole, oh, well, this is so irresponsible to be saying that I was advocating for it. I was merely exploring the philosophical. And back in the days, I was like, okay, yes. Maybe there is such a thing as ideological pursuit of philosophy. But now that I know more about Sam Harris, I look back at this moment as such an important moment. And I look back so differently because, no, you were speaking for the interest of Jewry. You were funded by the interest of Jewry. You live off the interest of Jewry, and you are a Jew. You were just acting like every single Jew after you and before you, in line with Israeli interest. And it's particularly vicious when you consider that he's been making those arguments at least a decade in advance before the planned genocide of Gaza. But when you think about it, when Sam Harris, 10, 15 years ago, was making these arguments, he had to know, he had to see as a Jew, he had to see Gaza as a problem. He had to see that the reality that we are in today, the genocide of the Gazans, was an upcoming certainty at some point. Maybe he didn't know much about how it was going to be done, but he had to do every single one of these arguments against the Muslim world with this in mind, this weight in mind that, hey, our job cleaning Israel isn't fully done. And now suddenly it all makes sense. suddenly even his Trump derangement syndrome makes sense. That is scary. It's scary that this level of subversion can exist, honestly. That he couldn't be more straightforward about what he was doing. And that's why he's not on Twitter anymore. Can you imagine a Twitter with Sam Harris right now? I mean, people would call him out so much freer to talk about this. What are the odds? Claudia Sheinbaum is likely to be Mexico's next president. Who is she? Well, let's see who she is. Claudia Sheinbaum was born to a secular Jewish family in Mexico. And Devon Stack was asking, what are the odds? What are the odds that the Mexican next president would be an Ashkenazi Jew? Well, the odds are low. The Ashkenazi Jews are 40 to 50,000 living in Mexico, which represents about 0.03% to 0.04% of the total population. So those are low odds. There are low odd events that keep happening every single time. 9mm SMG says, we do have blasphemy laws in this country. They exist to defend America's national religion, but stuff. So a manhunt is underway to find who scraped the LGBT flag on the asphalt. Look at this. Tire marks on a public work of art, a public endorsement of an ideological group. By the way, if you want a based Supreme Court decision, you know what would be a based Supreme Court decision? This is what Papa JF would. This is what Papa JF would decide if you name me Justice of the Supreme Court. I look at this case and I'm like, hey, this is a victim of speech rape trying to escape its rapist. So I'm a citizen of this city. The city should be ideologically neutral. The city adopts a Democrat symbol that is activist politically in nature, the LGBT flag. Therefore, the city has spoken for me. Now, there is legal precedent that sometimes, let's say, a post office will decide to put up a flag of something that may have political significance to kind of outline the history of it, but there is legal precedent that if they do that, they have to allow other associations with other flags to display their flag at some other date too. So if you want to be ideological, you need to be ideologically neutral. And therefore, the person who made these tire marks, in my view, was speech raped. Something was said from him without him consenting, because he's paying taxes and there they are making political statements for him with the streets. Therefore, I believe he was entitled to put tire marks there to signify, hey, there's a part of the population that wants to say they support LGBT activism. I'm not part of this population. Therefore, I have my right to my own logo, and I hereby use my right as tire marks. If I'm a justice of the Supreme Court, maybe you're not going to get a majority decision on this because they're not based. But personally, I would literally say it's a First Amendment right to stain speech that is being made by an entity that is supposed to be neutral by the First Amendment, that is the state. I don't know. I don't think we're going to get this from the current Supreme Court, but if Trump is elected and I'm named on the Supreme Court, you never know. Internet Archive was under DDoS attack today. The Internet Archive is the place that records the whole development of the internet, historical moments of a website, so that you can go in the past and see what was written there. They've been in trouble today because they were, although their systems were not affected in terms of the storage of the data, their distribution of it was affected because they were bombarded by DDoS. The Spectator Index reports Netanyahu says that the strike that left at least 45 people dead in Rafah was a tragic mistake. You know, you create an environment for these mistakes to be so regularly happening, I don't believe it anymore. The weird case of the Libertarian Party, I mean, it's almost annoying what's happening with this Libertarian Party. They had their convention in Washington a couple of days ago. The fact is, when you say you're a libertarian, you can be a principled libertarian like me, who works the inconsistency of supporting a state. And that leads to what I would call true libertarianism. But then if you make a party about it, you're going to attract the libertarian who thinks that libertarianism is about being belly naked on the stage, that libertarianism is about fat acceptance. And you're going to have much more of these retards than actual libertarians. This is what's happening at the Libertarian Party. And weirdly, Trump tried to go into that bunch and tried to charm them and negotiate for their vote. And he got booed. He got booed in a way that, oh yeah, there were some people who like him in the crowd, some people who disliked him. So I don't think it's an error of Trump. But where I find the error, it's like, how are these red hair, fat men showing themselves in underwear on stage more optical than me? This is the question I ask. But if you're going to go see these retards and try to charm them and try to treat them seriously, how is it that you haven't gone onto the public space or JFG tonight? Like, why is it that Trump will touch the racialist conscious right with gloves only and will try not to touch them at all? But he will go into this libertarian group of fuzzies to be booed. Ty Odyssey says they exist in greater numbers. Yeah, but what we find with the whole, like, even this guy, even a guy who was sympathetic to being polite against Trump, you can see that these guys are so convinced of their left libertarianism that they hate Trump. So there is not much for him to be done there.
I woke up this morning to the coolest thing that's ever happened in the history of the Libertarian Party. And I will, if I'm being completely honest, as Donald Trump was speaking last night, if I had control of how everybody acted, my plan was kind of like, guys, listen, here's my message to the libertarians here. The former president of the United States of America and the current frontrunner to be the next president is here to talk to you. We are not a bunch of college leftist sissies. We believe in free speech. So be respectful. I will, if I'm being completely honest, as Donald Trump was speaking last night, if I had control of how everybody acted, my plan was kind of like, be respectful till he says something. We are not a bunch of college leftist sissies. We believe in free speech. So be respectful. Like, don't boo him before he even gets to the mic and just wait till he says something really bad, which he will, and then boo that. So be respectful.
So this guy is so convinced that Trump will say something bad that he will have a chance to boo him. So what is in it for Trump to be with these clowns? And in fact, to what I'm pretty insulted about is that he promised to them that he would be respecting Bitcoin. Okay, that's good for Bitcoin. I'll take it. But he promised a release of Russ Ulbricht. He promised a release of the programmer of the Silken Road, whatever. Silken Road, whatever it was, the dark web marketplace. He could have done this before. So what is it in 2024 that makes it relevant when you had that power and you didn't do it? That is sad, because that is Trump trying to charm the libertarians, where the online right was already telling him to free him 4 years ago, and he didn't do it. So what is he doing here? Trump markets himself and sells himself, and that's what he's doing. He's selling himself. That's what a marketer does. But we're going to have a president who has sold himself. And if he's willing to do something that he had the power to do and to use it as leverage to get the endorsement of a bunch of loser, naked, just crazy people, he's going to have done this in private also. He's going to have negotiated himself away. And what that means is a president who will probably be more enslaved to Jewish interests than he even was on the first round. So I don't like this development. I don't like the new friends of Trump, because the new friends of Trump are people so cognitively deluded that they think you can be a libertarian leftist. And these people have used the opportunity to vote for Chase Oliver as the director, the president of the Libertarian Party. And he's in that trend of left libertarianism. The best way to export liberty is with an open border. Let money and people and goods move freely, and let markets and people flourish. Border control in its current form is central planning that doesn't work. Abolish ICE. The problem is when you submit your nation to an endless flow of parasitic entities that can drain from it, corporate ones and others, you are basically denying the existence of your nation. Your nation eventually gets drained of anything that's good and becomes the kind of average normal state of the world, which is basically the Indian slum. If you want to be headed toward the average, just let the average enter and the below average, and you're going to get, your whole existence is going to be averaged out. The reason we need borders anyways is that not everyone is capable of respecting liberty. There are people who are just walking clouds of liberty denial. They will murder you. They will destroy your business. They will do so in a way that's more costly for you and more costly for your nation than it is for them. Because seeding trouble is not very costly. A single person in a commerce can shut down that commerce and create tens of thousands of dollars of damage. Now, if you let these people exist in your state in high numbers, you're going to have more problems than money that you can make. And you're going to be headed toward a state of degeneracy. This is why libertarianism doesn't work if it offers its libertarian extension of goodwill to everyone. People need to be tested first. People need to be able to enter the contract of liberty, respect the contract of liberty before we extend our protections of them. Ian says, guilt culture as a prerequisite for libertarian society well, for these left libertarians, but they are merely a force that has entered the world of libertarianism on fake conceptions, and all they will do is parasitize the Libertarian Party until it's meaningless. And the Libertarian Party may very well be a far-left party under this leadership, you know? They're just going to be slightly edgy, slightly open-minded leftist. That's what a left libertarian is. They don't have a proposition for a working society. Tillman says, JF, have you seen the libertarian nominee? He looks like an LGBT freak. Yeah, I've seen him. And yeah, he's joined the LGBT protest in the past. You can't be libertarian and side with so much of the program, the anti-natalist program of the left, including, by the way, he once spoke about indoctrination of children, saying, oh, I have been at a trans library reading or trans singing performance in front of kids, and there was no indoctrination. Well, the fact that you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. State power right now is used to indoctrinate children on a path of non-reproduction, on an anti-natalist path, leading them to question the very foundations of nature, that they are sexual beings meant for reproduction in a binary sexual species. You don't have to lay it out explicitly for it to be indoctrination. The mere presentation in a context that is attributing value, that is saying, oh, look, my child, look at this trans singer. Just this is offering a societal approval and a social approval that sends a message to any kids. It sends a message, and that is the indoctrination. It's not that the trans lady or the trans man will start coaching them about what to think. It's even more insidious, even more hidden, the indoctrination of children on LGBT activism. Meanwhile, we have some red-pitting news that people were so happy about from Germany. Ausländer Rasse. So it's a song that says in German, Ausländer Rasse. Germany is our Germany for the Germans, foreigners out. And apparently this is a fake video, but it's been generating millions of views. But apparently this is a fake video. People were like, oh, there's this beautiful female DJ just playing a racist song. So apparently the enthusiasm of the right wing on this was unjustified, because this is a video of her where they added the song over, but she never played Ausländer Rasse. That being said, Ausländer Rasse is a trend in Germany. There's currently even a French equivalent. So what? All of these DJ rooms somehow look the same. What is this? So now we have a French DJ female playing a French version of Ausländer Rasse. La France aux Français. France to the French. We will pray for it to happen, or we will scream for it to happen. Not sure if I heard the word correctly. Let us live our dreams. Nothing can stop us. France to the French. It is our path. So anyways, people were excited that the German version mentions foreigners out, German for Germany for the Germans. And there are people who started, normies basically started singing this apparently at supermarkets and various events. So you have spontaneous, excited chants of this song. I think it's very good that it's happening, no matter the scale of it, and even if it's without consequences. I think it's great that it's happening because there's been a weight on the German mind, this guilt from World War II culture that's been injected into Germany as a kind of social program, and it's a social control program. And I'm happy that some Germans are taking the path that I've taken in life, which is disinhibit yourself. Don't let these people who have nothing else than smearing you as a hobby dictate how you think. And I think it's just, they're just singing this as some kind of edgy, all right, let's do it. And it is evocative of a kind of Nazi philosophy of the German people. And I think it's a relief valve. I think it's good for them to do this because they have been raised on such a taboo. When you have a taboo that you hold in your mind, it obstructs all of your thoughts. It doesn't allow, you know, you try to think in one direction and you're denied that direction by the taboo. And it's like you can't think for yourself. I think that the people who are yelling this song, they're just liberating themselves, and it's good. Trigmamel says, JF, I think we will not see libertarianism until the collapse of industrial society. Absolutely. There's no path toward libertarianism in democracy. And even if you were to have... Basically, the day you have a Libertarian Party victory in the US, you can be sure of one thing. The Libertarian Party isn't libertarian because it's the nature of crowds to be parasitic. They're never going to vote for something that is fueled by meritocracy because most people know deeply that they suck. You know how this impression that you have going around that the world sucks? You're not wrong. People really suck. I mean, people are retarded. 100 IQ? Are you fucking kidding me? That's the average. As the comedian was pointing out, that means there's half of people below that. People are retarded and they know it. So they don't vote for meritocratic systems. All right. They are afraid you can't stop what's coming. Well, apparently, because of the song that was edgy, not only is the song banned, of course, from Oktoberfest, but even a song that somehow resembles the edgy song has been banned from the upcoming Oktoberfest in Bavaria. Because some Germans could sing Germany for the Germans, foreigners out to it. So a song that just sounds a little bit like Ausländer Us has been denied. It won't be heard at the Oktoberfest, just in case people would start singing the new version. DK Shadow says, edgy by association. Absolutely. And who's this guy? The filmmaker of... What is this four-letter word that's like a seal? The filmmaker of Tusk. You know, Bob, Jay and Bob, Silent Bob. What's the name of this guy? Kevin Smith. Kevin Smith. I don't remember it's in what movie that he makes this joke. But he's an actor in one of his own movies at some point. I think it may be the movie where his daughter is an actress. What's the movie where Kevin Smith's daughter is an actress? Harley Quinn Smith. There is a movie about Canadian horror events. What is the, what is the list of the movies she's in? Is it Cruel Summer? I don't think so. There's a movie where she's dealing with Canadian ninjas, secret ninjas of some kind. Maybe it's, I don't know what it is. Anyways, I bring this because he makes a joke that's totally in line with your realization of the edgy by association. He's like, he says, I created a collector's item series. I'm trying to sell it. It's been actually selling pretty well. And then the guy says, oh yeah, you got big sales? He says, yeah, too bad. Actually, everyone buying it are part of a cult on some internet forum, and they're white supremacists. So we ended up, okay, yoga osers. So the guy is like, oh yeah, it's been doing well, but we had to stop the sales. And the other guy is like, why did you stop the sales? And he's like, well, you know, people were buying the collector's item, but it turned out it got super popular on this secret internet forum where there's white supremacists. And the guy's like, oh, shit. Oh, shit. You're on bad luck. You got supported by the white supremacist of the internet. And the guy is totally devastated. He's like, yeah, so I couldn't continue, you know. It's so funny. But yeah, this movie is bizarre. Yoga Ozer. I think it's from this movie. Did I get it correctly? It's a bunch of Canadian midgets that live in a convenience store. And they start torturing. They are really mini midgets. They are not like not like real midgets. They are mini midgets. And they live in a secret society that parasitizes convenience stores in Canada. And they go on a full-on just, where we have to fuck up these midgets, bro, because they control the convenience stores. I think it's the movie, if I remember it correctly. And I don't even know how it ends up. Do the midgets win? Oh yeah, there's a Canadian furor. Yes. And oh yeah, this movie is so weird. This is totally Kevin Smith style. Just like Tusk is a very uncomfortable movie. It's like, what the fuck, bro? But Yoga Ozers, and there's Hitler. There's a Canadian Hitler that's teaming up with the mini midgets. And they're really Nazi midgets in the end. Turns out those particular midgets were Nazis. Not saying anything, you know, about all midgets. Autism Capital says, PSA, list of several of the celebrity coins launched in the past and their ultimate fate. Yeah, when a celebrity or rapper gets a coin out, don't invest in this coin. Look at this. Minus 100, minus 100, minus 99.98. Ozzy Osbourne starts at 2,997, ends at $56, minus 98%. All of this as a warning because Caitlyn Jenner has started promoting. These people sell their fucking Twitter account. I'm not selling my Twitter account. My Twitter account is the work of art of my life. I'm not selling my Twitter account, not even for $1 million. Although I would love to have $1 million, but I can't. Because if I sell my Twitter account for that you have the right to do one tweet for $1 million, I lose all credibility. Because they're going to promote some shitcoin and they're going to rip you off. So I can't. Yet Caitlyn Jenner can. Not all cryptocurrencies, tokens, coins, or other crypto assets are the correct investment for all individuals. There is always risk associated with any investment, including the loss of value. Like, holy shit, are you that low, Caitlyn Jenner? Are you that low? You're on Fox News. You have pictures of yourself shaking hands with President Trump. And you're so low as to promote what is known to be a very dangerous shitcoin, really. You're putting together a shitcoin. JF coin. I've said it before. I'm up for creating a JF coin, but I would start a JF coin not to make money. I may make money from it, but I would start a JF coin if I had in mind an innovation that is absolutely needed, and the coin would be making that progress and would be taking society forward. But see, Caitlyn Jenner, you should have more money than me. You shouldn't be out there desperate selling yourself to crypto promotions. And yet that's what you have. The Caitlyn Jenner Twitter account tweets, "Make America great again, we love crypto," and a link to her shitcoin. A link to her shitcoin. And look at the price variations of the shitcoin during the day. The Jenner coin, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe you got in here. Probably not. Maybe you got in here. And maybe you're here now. You know what that means? You put in $10,000 and 2 hours later, it was worth $2,000. You just turned your life savings into nothing. You just turned the money that you had on the side to be your margin, your last chance margin to survive in case something really bad happens. And now you have close to nothing. So maybe it will go higher, lower, I don't know. But so many people will be scammed by this crap. Caitlyn Jenner must have known what she's doing. It's Mam coin. Oh, okay. Did I misgender the coin? I called it a shit coin. It is actually a it is not a shit coin. It is a Mam coin. Defenestrator says JF coin only available in prime numbers. Yeah, that sounds kind of cool, but not enough of a progress for society for me to release this. No, something like the JF coin would be, look, I found a mechanism for infinite amounts of providers providing hard drive space to the world so that they can archive their stuff forever on the internet and stream for free using the hard drives of other people and the fiber optics connections of other people. And I've found a way to decentralize the distribution of content on the internet. And I will create a JF coin that will help the people who have hard drive space and resources to stream the streams of others who don't have those resources. And all of it will be settled in JF coin. And it's going to take society forward toward a new form of liberty. that something like this I would do if I could find a way to make it work. But I'm not going to do a JF coin just per publicity and per, oh yeah, it's the JF coin. What are you doing, apes? Aping the JF coin. What are you waiting for? All right. A last comment on COVID, and then it's going to be the end of the show. As long as the milquetoast resistance against COVID authoritarianism refuses to deal with the fact that COVID was largely a Jewish-led technocratic class attack against the American people and the American economy, they are bound to misunderstand it, and their resistance will leave little place for learning and protecting against future attacks. People like Brett Weinstein have been speculating on improper incentives around vaccine tests, economic pressures on pharmaceuticals, and dishonest dealings within governments and between governments and corporations. However, the fact that so much of these micro factors have all been seemingly perfectly orchestrated internationally to create a perfect storm for tribal enrichment has been largely ignored and deserves much more attention. The next COVID won't be a coronavirus. It might not even involve a vaccine. But your rights will be violated just as much, and the same people will likely again be benefiting from it. Listen, this may seem like just some commenting on COVID authoritarianism, and you know my position on this. I'm against it. But it's more, I think I figured out how the pieces all come together. I've always said, I've said recently and for a long time, that the Jews are headed toward leaving America and finding new lands to continue their existence. I believe that as this happens, they will be divesting from the regular American economy, and they will start increasingly adopting investments. And the video I quote for this in my Twitter is a video that shows, yes, you know, Albert Bourla was Jewish and he was benefiting from the Jewish craze. And yes, the people who were in the government making those decisions were Jewish, and they were rewarding private companies operated by Jews through contracts. I believe that what you're going to have, as the Jews withdraw from America voluntarily, I think that you're going to have an increasing phenomenon where they bet on companies that profit from the destruction of the American economy. And this is the model. Pfizer, what they've done is exactly the model here. If you bet on Pfizer and then you destroy the American economy with all COVID measures, you're basically taking money away from the regular mom-and-pop stores and, you know, guy owning his restaurant. This guy was destroyed by COVID. And you're redirecting the money flow toward a Jewish-owned structure. I believe that what we're going to see is that Pfizer was just an initiating event with the COVID. It was just a test run. You're going to see more and more of these companies that benefit from a fake drama that is made up, but they benefit a lot from it. They benefit as they get their agents in governments and their lobbyists in governments to send them back huge flows of money. And these bets will literally be the stepping out of the Jewish part of the American economy. They will be profiting from it and getting away with the money. Whatever money we let them get away with, they will through this mechanism. So pay attention to this in the next 10 years. Is this an event that requires the coordination of corporation and government? Are government agents capable, by knowing in advance that they can invest in the stocks that will be propped up by the governmental action? Is there a kind of governmental authority, as there was in COVID with the whole medicine aspect of it? Is there a governmental authority that can be kind of the czar of this crisis? And ultimately, who's running this scam and who is it benefiting? Ask yourself these questions on any news event you see in the next 10 years. And I bet today I hereby record my bet that we'll see the COVID scam was just a test run for a model that could be run 4, 5, 6 times, and that would result in a much lower, much less vibrant American economy. Much love. See you all tomorrow.